these companies need to figure out how to get involved in the conversation. And that, you know, comes down to, you know, not only having dialogues with their consumers, but letting them know that, that if they have something negative to say, they'll listen, right? That if it's that everything can't be perfect, right? The best reward a brand can give is really to give thanks and to feedback to their customers, because, you know, it makes people feel important to be listened to by a brand.
This is PodTech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Jones, and on Marketing Voices, we've been talking about blogs and podcasts and wikis, but we have not yet delved into word of mouth and its importance to marketing today. And I really believe that word of mouth is the foundation for good marketing, and the internet provides an incredible opportunity for word of mouth. And so what I've done is I've brought to all my listeners a gentleman who is going to tell us all about word of mouth and is really potentially considered to be the father of word of mouth, if I may call him that. He's founder and CEO of a firm called Buzz Agent, and his name is Dave Balter. And his firm is a word of mouth marketing and media firm. And Dave is also a founding member of the Word of Mouth Marketing Association. So welcome to Marketing Voices, Dave.
Thanks, Jennifer.
So let's get right into it. Let's first describe to the listeners, what is word of mouth marketing and how does it fit into social media in your opinion?
Right. So word of mouth is really the purest and oldest form of marketing on the planet. It's very simply the sharing of opinion between one or more consumers. So the actual day-to-day interaction we have with those around us about products and services. So how it fits into social media is really a lot of the tools that are out there today, a lot of the elements, you know, social networks to blogging to viral videos, all you know, get success out of the capacity of people actually sharing their opinions about things. So blogs are an opinion-sharing tool, and viral videos only work if people decide to share them amongst each other. You can implement tools like viral videos and blogs and the rest, and if they are successful for you, you're going to end up with word of mouth, which is people sharing opinions about your products and services.
So why is it really more important today than it has been historically, or isn't it?
No, I think it is. I think it's always been important, but to the marketer, it's almost in some ways been a, you know, if we get lucky, word of mouth will happen. And what's really happened in sort of today's era, probably in the last 5 years or so, are two things that have really sort of culminated in this becoming a really powerful, you know, tool that marketers are using. The first being traditional media is struggling in some ways to find its audience. It's still very effective, but no longer effective the way it used to. It's people are saturated. They see too many messages. They're skeptical. Because marketers have, you know, continued to sort of paint everything with the perfect brush. And so that's caused consumers to look elsewhere, to look to the sharing of opinions. The second, sort of more importantly, is the sort of dawn of the internet and the dawn of a new form of communication has really allowed consumers to get together, engage, and share their opinions differently than they ever have before. And it's those two together that have allowed the marketer to have the opportunity to really develop this into a core, organized approach. So you've got marketers looking away from traditional, looking towards groups of consumers and the internet helping sort of fuel the capacity for consumers to get together.
So I'm just going to jump right in, and obviously you work with Buzz Agent, and you've got companies working with you to actually use word of mouth, but how do you help companies dip their toe into word of mouth marketing?
Sure. Well, it's in the end, it's a relatively simple process. What our goal from the very beginning was to develop an organized approach that was manageable and measurable for people to really harness word of mouth as a medium. And it really works like this. We have a core network of people we call buzz agents. These are what we call volunteer brand evangelists. People sign up. They get profiled. Based on that profile, we invite them into programs, so campaigns, word-of-mouth campaigns. As part of a program, they get to try the product, and they also are able to get a little bit of education about sort of the interesting things that may make this product worth talking about. We help people understand how to be a more effective communicator at the core. And then the real heart of this comes from what happens next, which is people then go out, share their opinions openly and honestly with those around them. So these are volunteers. They also disclose that they're part of an organized program. And then they're able to come back and report their activities to us for individualized feedback and response. So what in essence they get is the capacity to learn about a product, understand how to communicate best with those around them, and then share their opinion that they've shared with someone else with the brand for individualized feedback. It's a pretty powerful tool. Lets people really engage in a full dialogue with a company, and really starts to organize the approach of word of mouth into something that can be understood and accelerated and managed effectively.
So how do you go about measuring it, though?
Well, there are really three core ways to measure. One way is a theory called Net Promoter. This is a theory about measuring recommendations as it relates to sales. Actually, in I think it's today's or this week's Ad Age, the cover story has a piece on this about knowing your Net Promoter Score. And this is something a lot of companies come to us asking about. Can you help us measure our Net Promoter Score? The second has to do with straight sort of regionalized ROI measurement. So second way to measure is to run campaigns in separate segments of the country or by separate sort of demographic profiles, and then measure the changes in what's happening there versus those regions that don't have word of mouth. And then the last way is what I think the future is. You're gonna see established metrics like Net Promoter Score and things take shape. But the third way is you're starting to see these types of programs become implemented in a similar way over time. They're becoming formulaic in a lot of ways. And if you think about it, what that's creating is a variety of metrics about what norms are, right? So we've run about 280 programs at this point. We start to understand the effectiveness of certain programs compared to others, what's expected by way of how much negative word of mouth, things like that. And so what you'll find in measuring over time is people will start to look at these norms, these word of mouth media norms, and start to evaluate the effectiveness of their programs.
Very interesting. So what about pitfalls? What are the sort of the common problems or pitfalls, like I said, that people get into?
Right. Well, the biggest and the hardest thing I think for most marketers to recognize in this case is that it's a very different segmentation profile you want to consider for this. Every marketer sort of narrows down who's going to buy their product into you know, their target demographic. You know, it's going to be women aged 25 to 54 living in these 10 cities, and we want to market just to them. Now, the hardest thing to understand about word of mouth is to reach those people, you might have to look outside that group. You might have to look to children of people of that age. You might have to look to people who went to college in that location. Just you have to start to think about what we call communities of influence as opposed to just your target market. So we often work with companies to sort of reestablish and reset their sort of understanding of who they might want involved in their word of mouth program as they think about the target they're trying to reach.
So how do you go about doing that, looking at the community of influence?
Well, in our case, what we often do is, and this goes back to sort of those norms, we have a lot of patterns that we've seen over the course of campaigns. And so we'll look at those patterns, what's happened before, and at the same time, we sometimes will do what we call pre-campaign polling and surveying to find out what types of relationships people have as it may relate to a certain product. So we'll actually start to look at those. Now, the best way right now is to run a program with multiple communities involved, because you will find patterns, and many times those patterns aren't what you'd ever expect. And so in most campaigns, even when we have a very specific subset, we actually work with our clients and say, hey, let's let in, you know, some people from outside of this group and see how they behave. And you can find some pretty fascinating data points just by sort of letting in random groups of people and seeing how they'll react.
So do you get into a problem with marketers, especially who are sort of 30 and older, about really fighting you because they want to control the message and they can't really get into this idea of word-of-mouth marketing?
I would say there are definitely those out there that have sort of difficulty with this transition. You know, and sort of the irony of that lack of control is, you know, you know, should we run a word of mouth program? You know, what happens when people have our message and say it the way they want, or change the message to what they think it should be? You know, the reality being, they're already doing this, and they've been doing it all along. And so, you know, we look at those marketers and say, hey, you know, if you're worried about it from us, you know, you should just go read some blogs or look online or talk to your friends and family, because what they're saying likely isn't your tagline. It's likely something very different from what you're trying to push to market. So you know, the fear of lack of control, you know, it's pervasive. We see that out there, but it's really important for some of these folks to start to look outside and start to see that this is happening all over the place. Their best bet is to start to communicate directly with their consumers to understand why they're saying what they're saying.
Can you give me any examples where you've been incredibly successful at this?
Sure. I mean, we've, you know, I suppose probably one of the oldest, most known cases for us was something we did for a restaurant called Rock Bottom. This is known because it was a Harvard case study on this, which was we aligned our agents or we aligned a program with what we call loyalty program participants for this restaurant. This was a restaurant that was in 30 cities, or there were 30 restaurants in 15 cities across the country. And in essence, we invited in loyalty program participants, people who had a card for the restaurant, and we helped communicate with them about how to be a better participant, things like that. And what was proven out was engaging these cardholders in a word-of-mouth campaign made them more conscious and, in essence, changed their entire purchase behavior around the restaurant. It actually increased sales by about 76%, increased new card sign-up, increased frequency of visit, spend per visit. And what we really started to identify was you can take people who have already known about a product or service and engage them to the next level by letting them dialogue with the brand.
So dialoguing with the brand is really important. So in summary, what should the listeners who are listening to this for the first time, thinking about word of mouth, not blogs, not podcasts, and say, okay, why should I care so much about word of mouth?
Well, they should care because their consumers are talking amongst each other anyway, and they can either be part of that dialogue or separate from it. And what you'll find is most consumers really, really want to share an opinion with the brand. They want to be heard more than anything. You know, sharing your opinions is about being listened to. And so that, you know, these companies need to figure out how to get involved in the conversation. And that, you know, comes down to, you know, not only having dialogues with their consumers, but letting them know that if they have something negative to say, they'll listen, right? That if it's that everything can't be perfect, right? The best reward a brand can give is really to give thanks and to feedback to their customers, because, you know, it makes people feel important to be listened to by a brand. So, you know, it's time for brands to be more involved with their consumers, because the consumers are having conversations anyway.
Thank you very much. This has been Dave Balter, who's founder and CEO of Buzz Agent. Dave, again, I want to say thank you on behalf of all those listeners of Marketing Voices.
Thanks, Jennifer.
And you can find out more about Buzz Agent at www.buzzagent.com. It's BZZAGENT.com. And for all those out there, until next week, thank you very much for listening, and may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.